What's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, hey, hey.
The love of God. We're on the phone. It's happened.
it's about that time, man.
Yeah. Time. I mean, it's only taken us like 2 damn months, dude, to pull this off.
At least.
Yeah, so maybe if you stop traveling and I stop traveling.
Yeah, maybe we could do this more often.
Maybe. Maybe. So, man, I'll just kick this thing off. We'll have our normal just shoot the shit, go through the ins and outs and move forward. But first of all, I appreciate you coming on. You kind of know the routine, man. It's pretty informal. You and I are just going to have a normal conversation. The goal clearly is to get, you know, other anglers across the country, people that are interested in the sport, familiar with who you are, what you're about, you know, your background. It doesn't have to be about how you fish, who your sponsors are, and all that kind of stuff. It's more about, you know, family, what got you here, and what keeps you going, and just some mindset on the sport.
Yeah, so for the folks that don't know me, you know, out there in the industry or the sport in general, you know, I'm a tournament kayak bass angler, as well as a tournament bass fisherman in general. So I boat fish as well. Started dabbling into that in the last year. Bought a new bass boat last summer, and you know, that's kind of my life outside of you know, family and work. So, you know, I'm married, been married going on 9 years, and to my beautiful wife Sabrina. I have 2 kids, a little boy named Levi and a little girl named Tate, going into second grade and first grade, so they're growing up quick. And then you know, started kayak fishing back in 2006. So I got out of the Marine Corps. I'm a former Marine, if you want to call it that. I'm still a Marine. You know, once a Marine.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, yeah, exactly. I'm like, wait, so, you did not just say that.
But yeah, I got out in 2004, so I did 4 years in the Marine Corps. I was in the infantry, deployed to Iraq, Africa 3 times, Kosovo. So I was pretty busy in my 4 years. Got out 2006. Sabrina and I were, at that point, still dating. We moved to Florida, back home for me, and I've always fished my whole life. I started fishing, you know, when I was in a crib on my dad's skiff, and just wanted another means to access water in areas that we couldn't get to in the boat. So decided to check out kayaks, and bought a used Tarpon 140 from Wilderness Systems, had a rudder, and, you know, had kind of the crate, everything with it, and got a killer deal on it. Started saltwater fishing out of that, doing flat stuff, and, you know, it just kind of went from there, and, you know, my interest continued to grow, and did the inshore thing for a couple years, and then we moved back to North Carolina, and that's when the bass fishing thing really took off for me. You know, I really got back into it, and, you know, hit up Chad Hoover, you know, when he was at Hook One, and got a boat from him, a Ride 135, and tricked it out, started fishing tournaments, and, you know, that was back in, like, 2012, 2013. And haven't slowed down. So kind of who I am in a roundabout way.
Right. But you also, I mean, you know, don't sell yourself short here. You also did had a lot to do with growing the tournament scene in North Carolina, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. So I started, 6 years ago, I started Carolina Kayak Anglers, and I was a founder with Garrett Phillips and Wayne Butler. And, you know, Garrett stepped down and, you know, focused on family a little more. And Wayne and I, we still are a part of CKA, and we brought Hank Bajon on and a couple other guys, really growing the sport. You know, it's North Carolina is just blowing up each year with kayak bass fishing.
Yeah, those guys do a great job. I mean, it's impressive. It really is. For those, you know, people around the country that haven't paid any attention to it, you know, we had Hank on as a guest host for, you know, Fish Wrap Friday here a couple weeks back, but just everything that's gone on there, and at every turn, it's impressive.
Yeah, it's huge. It's really, you know, each season it grows. You know, we've gone from, you know, averaging of 50 guys to now is between 60 and 80 in the event. So it's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. But, right on. So you spent some time, I mean, you know, you've gone from a Wildy, you spent some time on a Hobie, didn't you?
I did. So, yeah, I used to work at a couple of years ago before I started. So now I currently work for Confluence Outdoor. I'm a sales rep in the Southeast, and, you know, sell kayaks, canoes, paddleboards, surf, the whole nine yards. But yeah, prior to that, I worked at Get Outdoors in Greensboro, North Carolina, for about 4.5 years. And, you know, was paddling different boats and whatnot. I was on the Wilderness Systems fishing team for 2 years and decided to step back. I had an opportunity with Get Outdoors that really didn't pan out, so to speak. And so I didn't really want to be tied down to a team. So after that, I ended up buying a Hobie Pro Angler and fished out of a 12 foot for a while and then stepped up to the 14. And, you know, after that, great watercraft. It fit my needs really well. You know, loved the pedal drive aspect. And once I was offered a position with Confluence, you know, I had to sell the Hobies. And so now I'm back in Wilderness Systems. But I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. You know, everybody makes, you know, I don't know what to say. You know, everybody makes great, great boats out there in the market. You know, it's what fits my needs, you know, currently.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm in the Radar 135 and I've got an Attack 120 with the Torquedo. You know, being motorized has really changed the game as well. So.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, I've, you know, I live 10 minutes from Hobie and it's not like I can't do a drive by, you know, with Morgan or Kevin and grab, you know, do a grab and go. But, you know, I've been on a Jackson for, you know, 6 years and, you know, I'm now, you know, tech and sales rep for Jackson in Western territory. So it's a fit. I like the Jackson product. You know, I've been on Wildies as well. I think I've pretty much been in most of the boats, especially the high end stuff. So I think, you know, everything's got its own little niche. One thing's, you know, battling another. And I think as long as these companies keep competing with one another and force feeding, innovation and improvements, you know, we, at the end of the day, we, the anglers win. So,
Exactly right. And, you know, we just have to keep innovating and coming out with new stuff that makes, you know, our lives easier and more simple on the water. So,
right. Absolutely. Yeah. And as long as it's not coming out of China, I'm probably fine. You know,
yeah, me too. Yeah. I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Makes exactly. Our jobs a little easier.
Yeah, that's a true that's statement. Right. That's a true statement.
Right.
So how do you handle the balance? I mean, with family, being on the road, I mean, you know, you and I are both on the road a lot. It's kind of why it's taken us so long to lash up here. But how do you handle that balance between the work, the events, and spending that quality time with the kids? I mean, because the kids are young, you know, we've talked about that in the past, about the amount of time, you know, that they need and you want to be there for.
Right. So, you know, family comes first over everything. That's over work, you know, fun, which is fishing for me, you know, tournaments and whatnot. So I luckily get to work from home most of the time. So, you know, I'm on about a two to three week rotation. So I spend about 2 to 3 weeks at home generally, and then I fly down to Florida and I hit my territory. So I have Florida and half of Alabama. So what I do is I spend a week on the road, about 7-8 days down there, and the other time I'm at home. So when I'm at home, you know, that's time with family, and I try to squeeze in, you know, fishing trips here and there. But, you know, as the kids are getting older, you know, I definitely want to be there. We got sports and dance and things like that, and they're both interested in fishing. You know, my son's getting into it now a little more. But, you know, they come first. So it's been a learning experience. I've been with Confluence for about a year and a half now, and you know, it's been a little tough here and there. You know, I'm really lucky. My wife is, you know, really self-reliant in the aspect of, you know, taking care of the house and the kiddos. So, you know, I can't thank her enough. You know, she's been there. You know, she's great. So, and she knows how much I love fishing, and you know, that's kind of my therapy in a way. You know, I kind of get away, and you know, just I need that time to myself and kind of clear my head from things. But, you know, last season was pretty rough for me as far as fishing goes. You know, starting a new job, like I said, kids getting older and whatnot. So it was hard for me to balance everything out. But, you know, this year came along and I talked to Sabrina and decided that, you know, I was going to go all in as much as possible on the tournament side of things and, you know, try to not have any conflicts with, you know, family and work. And so far it's worked out pretty well. You know, there's been a couple of events that I haven't been able to make it to that I would have liked to, but you know, family comes first. So, but it's been tough, but, you know, I always make it work. That's the thing, man. You got to adapt and overcome.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I hear and people comment on is, you know, time on the road. It's like, well, everybody on the East Coast, defense are all really close to them. So it's easy. And, you know, obviously I talk to you guys a lot. I know it's not the case. Just the travel, how much travel time do you think you have for events? I mean, would you speculate per event if you just kind of average it out?
Oh, per event, you know, on the road, Chickamauga was about, you know, this past weekend, you know, that was a round trip. That was a 12, 13 hour drive for me. You know, so that's a lot of time on the road. And, you know, that's a full day basically. So I lose a day there, but you know, overall I would say anywhere, you know, when I travel to these bigger events, you know, it's an average of six to eight hours.
Okay. To major events. Yeah. And I always find it interesting. People are like, well, you know, I don't really want to drive past 4 hours. I'm like, well, good luck with that. I mean, unless you're fishing like a local, you know, a local club, you're not going to hit a big event. I don't care whether you're fishing out of a kayak or a bass boat.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah,
so, and so, you know,
local events, I'm within an hour of some of the kayak stuff and some of the boat events, but you know, we're looking at 2 hours generally.
Yeah. And you and I both done the boat tournament thing. You're still doing it. I've taken the last 2 years off just to make up for all the time that I've, you know, got wrapped into KBF. But the how do you find the comparison between the two, between fishing the bass boat side and the boat side?
You know, honestly, I keep going back to the kayaks. You know, I really enjoy it. To be honest with you, my boat sat in the garage for three and a half months and didn't move. And you know, I bought it brand new last summer, and my wife's like, "Are you going to use this boat? And if you're not, let's sell it." You know, it's taking up space in the garage, and you know, I was really focusing on the kayak thing. But you know, what brings me back to kayaking is in the kayak tournaments is just honestly the people. You know, everybody's it's more of a tight knit community. You know, we're really helpful to one another, and you know, I know a couple guys on the bass boat side of things, and you know, we talk to each other, and you know, it's just different.
Right.
You know, both of them are extremely competitive, but it seems like, you know, on the boat side of things, guys are just not as apt to share information and you know, things like that. But the biggest thing is just the people and the community of kayak fishing. You know, it's been great. I've made some really good friends, lifelong friends. You know, that's what keeps bringing me back to the kayak thing. But overall, I would say the big difference is the actual people and the attitudes.
Right. Yeah, and I've seen the same thing. I always kind of go back. I was fishing a two-day tournament out in Arizona several years ago. And a guy came in, and he was just like a freaking mobile stress monster at the end of day one. And I'm like, dude, it's a club tournament. And, you know, you're not in the running for the top five nor AOI. So I don't know what the hell you're stressed about. And he's freaking out over losing a critical, in air quotes here, critical fish,
right,
with like minutes to spare. And I'm like, bro, what's critical? You're not getting shot at. This isn't the freaking classic, you know? And dude, he was in his boat, man, that night, uptight. Negative Nancy, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we've been around this stuff so long. We've seen that, you know, regardless of event, it's always like, we're always grabbing a bite to eat, hanging out. Yeah, I need to get back and go rig up. Okay, yeah, well, I'll sit around for a few more minutes, you know. But very open conversation. Everybody, you know, even if they're in the competing for, you know, first and second, the likelihood of them sitting down at the same table and having dinner with a group is high.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just a different mentality, I feel like. And I don't know what really causes that division and, you know, the two different sports there between kayaking and boat fishing. So it's kind of odd, but.
It's odd to me as well.
I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, some things are predictable, right? You ask Jay Wallen what he's fishing with. Jay's going to tell you exactly what he's fishing with, and hell, he'll probably tell you where he's fishing, you know?
That's exactly right. I tell people the same thing. You know, I'm always willing to help. You know, I've given, you know, national championships in the past. You know, I've given baits to guys and say, hey, this is what I've been catching them on pre-fishing. This is the general area I was in. You know, this is the kind of, you know, structure I was looking for. And, you know, at the end of the day, you still have to catch them.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, I always joke around, you know, if I'm like, if you ask Ron Champion what to do, what he's doing, whatever he tells you, do the exact opposite, and you'll be successful, right? But Ron will at least tell you that, you know. And then the other thing you don't do is don't show Eric Siddiqui where fish are.
That's right. Eric's never fond of
him. Yeah. Yeah. If you let Eric even sniff where a fish may be, you know, it's over. And then, you know, we don't need to talk about Christine because she's just going to come in and whip everybody's ass. Give her the chance.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Like at the Chickamauga, you know, I roll up to the ramp the other morning and I was with Jody Queen and Brian Aliff. We pull in and immediately I was like, oh, we're in the right place. Here's Christine Fisher, AJ, you know, Dylan Fuqua. And I was like,
yeah.
Well, we're about to get our butt handed to her because, you know, Christine is a phenomenal fisherman. And, you know, she's been on fire lately. I think, you know, just talking to her in conversation, she's got her head in the right place. And, you know, she had a tough time, you know, recently, she said. And, you know, just from her post on Facebook and stuff, you know, she just mentally wasn't in it. And that happens to all of us. But, you know, once you get in that groove and you start feeling good about things and, you know, it's hard. You know, it's hard to stop. You get on that roll and, you know, I'm pulling for her. You know, she's headed up, I think, this weekend to St. Clair or next weekend.
Yeah, but, next weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
So she's rolling. I mean, I know, you know, we sat down with her, and I've mentioned this before in a different interview, but, you know, we sat down, Amanda and I sat down with AJ and Christine and a few others after the FLW event. And, you know, you could tell the frustration was there, and she'd been kind of beating herself up. But what impressed me is she went outside, she got to know their grandfather. And AJ just said, this is all it's going to take. All it's going to take. And I'm like, what? He goes, she'll be right as rain. I'm like, what? He goes, I don't know what it is. Yep. That right there is going to do it. And, you know, you want to talk about AJ calling her shot for her? He did it, you know.
Yeah.
And she's been on a tear ever since. So,
yeah.
You know, there's her secret sauce right there.
That's right. Yeah, she's dangerous in the tournament scene. I can tell you that. So, you know, there's a handful of people out there that when I see them on the registration board, I'm like, it's just somebody else that I have to beat. So.
Yeah, and you also got to like the fact that we've got, you know, Dylan who just turned 15, and he's doing a pretty damn good job, that kid.
He is, man. He's a good kid. His dad's great. You know, I think, you know, he's being a young man, and he, you know, he's got his head right. You know, compared to a lot of 15-year-old kids out there, but, you know, I think he's going to go far. Him and, you know, Jackson Orr, you know, both of those guys, that's the future of the sport right there. And, you know, both of them are great kids. And you know, I really like that about this, you know, this sport, because you don't see that in the boat side of things, really, with a lot of kids getting into it. And, you know, getting in a kayak, they have a little more freedom. But, yeah, it's good stuff, man. They're going to go far. So, they're definitely going to go far.
So, segueing from that, you know, you brought up future of the sport. You know, when you started this, did you see it getting to where we're at today this quick?
Honestly, I did not. You know, it's really, in the last few years, it's really blown up. You know, I'd say about the last 3 years, it's really, really, really exploded. And, you know, that's from the kayak manufacturers to, you know, fishing manufacturers. Like, it's just, you know, you go to ICAST, like last year, that was the first time I've ever been to ICAST. And everything, it seemed like, revolved around kayak fishing, which I thought was incredible. You know, five years ago, it wasn't like that. It was everything boats. But, you know, I definitely didn't see that coming. And it really hasn't slowed down. You know, there's a lot of competition out there, you know, on the sales side of things. You know, we've seen some ups and downs there from all the companies, but, you know, that's kind of the infiltration of, you know, the Chinese product, and we could go on and on and on and talk about that, but.
Yeah, you and I could have a complete dissertation. Right. What'd you guys do this week? We learned about Chinese trade embargoes and kayaks. That's what,
But yeah, it's, you know, it just keeps, it's growing at a rapid rate. And I don't see it, you know, I honestly don't see it slowing down anytime soon. So
what do you think's next? I mean, sitting back.
You know, honestly, the thing I see that's going to be next is motors. You know, we're already starting to see that in the last couple of years, especially this year. There's a lot of Torquedos out there, you know, motor guides, Minn Kotas, you know, some of the other stuff, Bixby. You know, we kind of went from the paddle, you know, paddling and kayak fishing to pedal drives, and it's now, in my opinion, starting to evolve into the motors. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day if I thought gas motors would be, you know, introduced into the kayak fishing world. And, you know, I don't think that's anything that's coming soon, but it'll be there in the future. I don't think there's any way around it. You know, there's a couple boats that just came out, and we got the Johnny boats, and, you know, some of the larger kayaks. But yeah, I think it's motors is the next big thing that's really going to, you know, you're going to start seeing a lot more guys, especially in the competitive side of things.
Yeah, so I agree. I think motors are going to be the next big, you know, the next side that continues to see the most growth and probably more products showing up to support it.
Right.
A lot of guys that I've talked to, it's just like they can't believe how much their game has changed with propulsion, you know, like legit propulsion.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I hate the term game changer, but
it's overrated.
You know, I definitely say that motors is definitely a game changing aspect to kayak fishing. You know, having my Torquedo is just, you know, it's been amazing, you know, the difference between pedaling or paddling and just being able to cover water and, you know, especially in pre-fishing, you know, I can eliminate so much, you know, so many areas in a small amount of time and hit multiple targets, you know, quicker. But, you know, and a lot of guys that I fish with that have never been around a motor, you know, they're super impressed. Guys are starting to buy up Torquedos and, you know, like I said, motor guides, Minn Kotas, whatever kind of motor they can, you know, mount them to their kayaks. So they see the advantage to it. So it's been great.
No, I think it's good too, because it gets guys out on bigger bodies of water, lets them get to a spot. I mean, I've fished some locations that, you know, bass boat guys are looking at me like, how the hell did you get out here? You know, psycho.
That's exactly right, man. Yeah.
And then the part that I love about it is just standing up on a boat in front of them and, you know, just rolling fish in on a jerkbait, you know, just right in front of them while they're on their trolling motor. And they're just like, what the hell's going on with this guy? This is crap. You know, and I'm like, well, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, so, all these guys out here in their canoes, that's what I hear all the time.
Yep. So what's your next event, man?
So next event will be Kentucky Lake. So the trail event out on Kentucky Lake in July. You know, I was going to try next weekend to head up to St. Clair, but we have a family vacation out at Carolina Beach for the week. So I'm taking a week off of vacation and was going to try to squeeze that in. But, you know, like I said earlier, family's first. And spend as much time as I can with the, you know, the kiddos and the wife and extended family, you know, this summer, you know, just go all in. I'm going to try to spend a week up at Kentucky Lake. And then after that, you know, I've got the FLW Cup. So I'm really looking forward to that and, you know, finding out where we're actually going to be. My gut tells me Wachita, but we'll see. So that's going to be an exciting thing.
You know? Look, brother. That's what my gut tells me, and I don't even know. And it's not like I'm not pestering the crap out of Hoover on a weekly basis.
Yeah, so, yeah, guys are starting to chomp at the bit. I've gotten a few phone calls and texts from, you know, some of the guys because they know that I'm in the loop somewhat. And like, hey, what's the deal, man? We're 6 weeks away, and, you know, we're trying to get houses set up and plans just overall and vacation time and doing all that. Because, you know how guys are, man. They're starting
to –
We're starting to get antsy. So a month and a half away, but, you know, payouts will be there. You know, everybody at KBF does a good job with that stuff. You know, it'll get rolled out and everybody will be good to go. But yeah, I'm super excited for that.
Yeah. We'll get it as soon as we get it. I mean, you know, that's holding great. Pattern as well. I know Chad's been going back and forth with FLW trying to, I don't use the term fight for the best thing possible.
Right.
But it just get to where, you know, we can run two solid events between, you know, the boat side and the kayak side. So,
that's, you know, exactly right.
Happy with the way, you know, our first event went. I think we all learned a lot of, there's some good lessons learned there as far as how FLW and KBF are kind of how we coexist during an event.
Right.
But, you know, outside of that, the event went real smooth. So I'm looking forward to this next one.
Yeah,
I'll be out there a few days in advance.
Great, man. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, definitely an incredible experience as well. You know, the open down on Nickajack was just phenomenal, man. Like, that was a really great experience for me. You know, I was fortunate enough to play six in that and get up on the stage and, you know, thank my family and sponsors and whatnot. And, you know, I knew it was coming, but it was, you know, once I got up there and actually on the stage, it's like, man, it really hits you. Like, the sport has gone so far, and, you know, it's just going to continue to grow. And I can't thank, you know, KBF enough for building that platform for us and everybody else in the sport. Cause that's, you know, that's what it's taken. It's not just KBF. It's everybody growing the sport.
Well, and that's a fact. I mean, that's, you know, that was, it's kind of the whole point to me starting this podcast deal is there's so many backstories that have gotten us where we are. You know, so many people that have been going for years, you know, doing this, you know, a lot of people, you know, across the country, they don't know that aspect, right? They only know what they either A, you know, have watched on YouTube or caught on Facebook. And there's so much that goes on that's not there. You don't see it there. And so many people fighting at the local level to get things done. Just the stuff that, you know, my conversation with Hank a couple weeks ago, just the way that the club has jumped in at the local level and even within the state to help facilitate getting kayak launches and all these other things. That's what's growing the sport in every little bitty, you know, nook and cranny of the U.S. So we just have to keep sharing that, you know, sharing that information and pushing forward. So I think it's going to work out well over time. It just takes time.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely.
So, you know, what does your day at home look like? I mean, I know I've seen, you know, video of you two screens on doing some, you know, studying for, you know, the lake and yada, yada, yada. I mean, at what time does Sabrina kind of walk in, drop the foot in your ass and say, okay, enough's enough. Let's go, cowboy.
Yeah. So a typical day when I'm at home, you know, work comes first. You know, I'm usually, the kids are in school, Sabrina's working, and, you know, I get work done. And then, you know, we eat supper together every night as a family, which is great. You know, we're big.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah. I grew up that way. Sabrina grew up that way. And it's like, you know, we don't give our kids a choice. You know, we eat at the dinner table. We don't go and eat on the couch. It's like, that's our family time. And, you know, we talk and discuss things and, you know, cut up and have fun. You know, that's what being a family is all about. But, you know, after that, the kids get settled down and whatnot. You know, I'm on my phone constant. You know, that's everybody's
keeping
at the hip. It seems like now, you know, I and I hate it, but it's just the reality of today. And, you know, I'm cruising Facebook and Instagram and, you know, I'm on Navionics and, you know, YouTube, and I'm looking up information. I go, you know, go upstairs to the office, and I'm on the computer there and searching for info. And, you know, Sabrina and I kind of do our own thing. She's, you know, she's looking up her makeup and lashes and skincare stuff that she does for work. And, you know, we make it work, but, you know, there's a time we have to draw a line in the sand and say, hey, you know, enough's enough. Like, we've got to focus on each other as well. So.
So which one of you two draws that line in the sand? Is it her or is it you?
Now, before we get carried away into the rest of this podcast, I would like to give a public service announcement to our sponsor, Kyle Coast Fishing. Now, for the rest of this podcast, I would like to have a challenge for you guys. Want you to count how many times you hear the words, you know, for the next 10 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah.
She's just like, you know, I try, but, you know, truthfully, she's like, all right, enough. Let's go spend time together and, you know, whatnot. But yeah, you know, I do as much as possible, you know, at night and try to do my research for, you know, fishing at that time. But yeah, that's basically it.
Good deal. Well, what kind of, I guess, you know, I'm in the retirement stage now, but is there anything that, you know, kind of like with your career in the Marines, that really just kind of, when you got out, changed your mindset about a lot of things as you were in there and as you, you know, transitioned out of the military?
Yeah. I mean, you know, my mindset was totally different after the 4 years that I was in there. You know, I had some buddies that, you know, I lost overseas and things like that. And, you know, it just kind of opened my eyes to, you know, you only have one life. Like, you need to do what, you know, what makes you happy and, you know, things like that. And, you know, that's kind of the, the way I live now is, you know, just do what I enjoy, you know, spend as much time with family and go out and fish. And, you know, it's kind of, it's a hard thing to talk about too. You know, I lost, you know, just talking about, you know, family and stuff. I lost my brother a few years ago, and my brother was in a motorcycle accident in 2007 and was a paraplegic and passed away after, you know, he lived, he was in a chair for a while and, mm-hmm. and went through some major health, you know, things. And long story short, he passed away. And after that really, you know, being my brother
right.
You know, it really opened my eyes to, you know, just do what you want and go have fun. And you know, you only live once. So that's why family is so important to me now, you know, and it always has been, but you know, you're not guaranteed the next day, but.
And it's very, very well stated, you know, it's a thing that, you know, I kind of fight with as well. And I think my bigger struggle just as an adult and as a parent is, you know, how do you teach that to your kids such that, you know, cause we always want them to have a better life than we've had. Right. That's always the goal.
That's right.
You know, absolutely. Be a step ahead. You know, every generation's got to improve. But how do you, you know, have you really thought about how to get the kids to understand that as they grow up? I mean, because it's that thing even now, you know, I struggle with how to, I hate to say beat that into my kids, but how you instill, you know.
How do you instill it into them? Yeah,
how do you instill it into them, you know, such that they really fundamentally get it? I think, you know, some kids do, but that percentage is probably just a grossly small number.
It is. You know? Yeah. You know, it's tough, especially, you know, with my kids being young, you know, six and seven, you know, it's tough, but you know, I tell them, you know, have fun and you know, it's one of those things that we definitely work on and we'll continue to work on and just kind of, you know, help them with the growth in that aspect of life.
Yeah.
It's definitely a challenge being a parent. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I've got, you know, a couple that are adults and then two teenagers. So, yeah, stand by for those family dinners about the time 15 and 16 roll around.
I remember those with my brother.
Yeah.
Those were always fun.
You know, it's either that or you and Sabrina are going, you two clowns got pizza. We're out, you know.
That's right.
You can sit down of this argument. That's the thing with Jake and Charlotte. I mean, listening to those two argue at this stage of the game. Dude, you're like, oh, I'm walking away. Just walking away.
Yeah.
Right on.
They say it doesn't get any easier, so.
Well, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Hey, look, my girl's in the mid-20s, and I've got a son that's older. They're all good. So it gets easier there, but, man, it's going to be entertaining for a bit. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Anything you think we haven't covered? I mean, anything else you think's relevant to get out there to the masses?
No, I mean, you know, the biggest thing is for guys that are looking to get into the sport, you know, the biggest thing that I can preach is, you know, ask questions, you know, not just on a Facebook page or things like that. Sure, that you can get good information, but you're going to get a lot of opinions, you know. Reach out to the veterans of the sport and some of the guys that, you know, have been around for a while and get some solid information. You know, if you want to get into the kayak bass, you know, bass fishing tournament scene, you know, make sure, the biggest thing I like to tell people is read the rules. Make sure you know the rules upside, you know, every which way, just put it that way. There's a lot to it, you know, but don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, some guys are, most of us men, you know, especially alpha males, we don't like to ask, but I can tell you, you know, all of us are here to help.
You know, the highlight of having a phone now, right, is that we no longer have to ask for directions.
That's right.
I mean, you do. You technically, you know, you're asking your phone, but there's no ego loss there.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can just play that off. Well, I'm just making sure I've got the shortest route. You know, it could be traffic.
Shoot, man. I just go into Google Maps now and punch in my directions, you know.
Yeah, ditto.
I'm not going to get lost. So I got to put the ego to the side sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a good point, though. I mean, we do have, you know, we've got an influx of anglers. I mean, I had a, you know, phone call today from a couple guys in Texas that were interested, and they've looked in a couple different places, but just still had questions. And
right.
I sat on the phone. Poor Charlotte was in the truck with me, and she's like, "Here we go again," you know. But you know, that's she's 13. Like, she can explain it. Yeah. You know,
that's right. But, that's right.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, the other good news is she can explain it all, which is a win. But you know, I think at the end of the day, that is the deal. You know, when they call, you know, you take as many of those calls as you can, answer as many emails as you can, and welcome them in with open arms, because at some juncture they're going to be you.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You know, if you do it right, they'll be you. And you know, it's at a got that thing from The Rock yesterday. You know, it's nice to be important. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
That's exactly right.
You know, some pretty simple stuff there. All right, man. Well, look, I'm gonna let you finish your road trip. I'm gonna do the same. And I appreciate the time as always. And we'll get this thing locked and loaded, man. Anytime, brother. Anytime. And I will see you at Lake of the Who Knows. You know,
here in another 6 weeks.
Here in another 6 weeks. Exactly.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, man.
Sounds like a winner, brother. Thanks again, man.
All right, brother. Take care. Drive safe.
You too. All right.